Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NATCO Pharma Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Bhat from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to NATCO Pharma Q2 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by B&K Securities. From NATCO Pharma Management, we have with us Mr. Rajeev Nannapaneni, Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Rajesh Chebiyam, Executive Vice President, Crop Health Sciences. We'll request Rajesh to give a brief opening remark about NATCO's Q2 results before we open the floor for Q&A session. Over to you, Rajesh.
Thank you, Rohit. Again, good morning and welcome, everyone, to NATCO's conference call. During this call, we may be making certain forward-looking statements or statements about future events, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I'd like to state that the material of the call, except for the participant question, is the property of NATCO and cannot be recorded or rebroadcast without NATCO's express written permission. So I'll begin with results highlight and then an interactive Q&A session. We have uploaded the financials on our website as well. Hopefully, you guys have seen it. To summarize, NATCO has recorded consolidated total revenue of 1,060.8 crores for the second quarter of FY24 that ended on September 30th, 2023, as against 452.6 crores for the same period last year, reflecting a growth of roughly 134%. The net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 369 crores, as against 56.8 crores same period last year, showing a significant growth of over six-fold increase from the prior period. Company business was strong during the quarter due to growth in formulation exports and also increased sales in our domestic agro business. The rest of the business is stable. Specific segmental revenue split has been also shared. I will not go into the details. We'll open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. We'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
How's it going?
The first question is from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, wanted to know the impact of eight observations for our Kothur plant on our revenue for the current quarter, and by when we can clear these observations because it's almost a month now.
Sure.
The inspection happened in the month of October, as you're aware. So on November 8th, we have responded. You're given 15 working days to respond. So November 8th, we have answered given our reply to the observations and our rectification and our remediation plan based on the observation. Typically what happens is it takes about 90 days for them to make a classification of the observation. So I think 90 days starts from November 8th. So that's on the FDA side. In terms of impact, I think impact will be minimal because I think the company has always done risk mitigation with their top products. As you're aware, I think all our top revenue items, our top 5-6 revenue items have an approval from our Vizag site in addition to the Hyderabad Kottur site. Lenalidomide also, which is the biggest revenue item, is also having approval from both Vizag and Hyderabad, except for two strengths, which are 2.5 mg and 20 mg, which is about 7% of the total lenalidomide. So even that also, we have done the batches. It's on stability, started stability. So we believe if you do 90 days stability and so it's a procedure called CB30, if that is also done, then even that can be moved. That was already on the way, so that is also planned. Overall, I think our impact will be minimal, and so I think let's wait for the classification of of the inspection, and we'll make a decision. But as when we plan every project, I think we always have a two-site strategy for all our top filings.
Okay, so even if this currently since the observations are there, so the production has been moved to the other plant.
No, the products are already being made in Vizag, most of the products. And some products have not been moved, but we already have approvals from Vizag. So it's a little bit of both. So some products we have approvals, but we're not moved. Some products we have approvals, we are making in Vizag.
Okay. And so in the previous call, you did mention to achieve, 1,000 to 1,200 crore profit for the current fiscal. So, but what would be the, for next financial year, how much can it go?
I don't think there'll be much impact. I think I still stick to the same guidance. I think that range we'll able to achieve. I don't see a problem.
Okay. And for the next financial year, can we grow 20-25% above this?
Next financial year, I think it all depends on how the pricing environment is. I think we'll give more color to it, I think, closer to the end of the year. But we're expecting that we should do well in the following couple of years. I think that was general broad trajectory of the business. And so I think, we'll speak more in detail about the actual growth, I think, closer to the end of the year. But overall, I think, the impact will be minimal.
Okay. And so there was some news article that even Aurobindo has entered in the space. So how much that can impact overall our business?
Aurobindo has entered into what? Oncology business? Revlimid, you're saying? Okay.
Yeah,
I think a lot of players in Revlimid, there's already, it's all factored in. I think our earning projections assume the competition. So it's all factored in, my friend.
Okay.
Thank
you very much. The next question is from the line of Yash Malhotra from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. In your last quarter presentation, there was a key molecule in your pipeline called semaglutide. Can you throw some color on its progress?
Semaglutide, it's a good question you've asked. This was not filed in NATCO. It was filed from a CMO site. Okay, first question. To answer your first part of your question. The review is ongoing. It's very early days at this time. So I can't give you any update at this time. And our partner here is Viatris.
Okay. And what steps are we as a company undertaking in order to have a better FDA track record henceforth?
I think we have a good track record, and I think we have, GMP is a constant improvement process, and when observations come, you need to, take yourself to the next level and meet the regulator's expectations. I think we are engaged and we are cognizant of what is required, and I think we'll do what it takes to get it done.
Sure.
Thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Marcel. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
First of all, like we didn't find the PPT presentation for the Q2 results, neither in your website nor in the announcement of the stock exchange. So can you please make sure the next time the PPT submitted?
Yeah, usually what we do is within 24 hours after the board meeting we upload, and we usually incorporate certain questions that come from the call as well, and we do it. So it will be done within an hour or two after this call.
No, sir, actually what happens, 99% company announce or like upload the PPT prior to the call, so that the analyst investors can go through the PPT and can accordingly frame their questions, and the avoidable question can also be avoided because a lot of answers we can find in the PPT itself. So can you please ensure that prior to this one, prior to the call, this at least few hours before, like this must be uploaded.
No problem. Point yes. I think we'll take your advice here. Thank you.
Number, like coming to the questions, like in view of our key, like for example, key products. So, like, how do you see the progress, or like how do you see the growth in the current part of December vis-a-vis September quarter? If you can just like talk at least about three key brands.
Which product particularly, sir? Can you tell me exactly which product, key products you're saying in the company's portfolio, you're saying?
So, like, for that, I need to open your, this, like, Q1 PPT.
I'll tell you which one are the important ones. I think we can run through them.
Yeah, the most important one,
obviously, lenalidomide is the biggest one. So, lenalidomide, I think, we have already, we don't have much quantity left for December. Most of it is sold. Lenalidomide will take off again starting from March. So, the December quarter will not be as strong as this quarter. And again, March, things will pick up. Regarding other products, Glatram is doing very well. I think it's very stable, and we'll see how things are. We have very good market share. And overall, our ROW business, Brazil, Canada, is doing extremely well. So we are happy where we are progressing. Our subsidiaries are doing almost this quarter gross sale of 136 crores. So, and they're all profitable, and we're doing well. So these are three major items that drive the earnings. And agro has done extremely well. I think it's a business that we had almost very little turnover, and now this quarter we did almost 100 crores for the half year. So all business segments are doing well in the core.
So like we expect that like our financial performance during December Q will be a bit better than the September, or will it like it downwards?
It will be not as strong. I already answered the question, sir. What I said is it will not be as strong as September, because typically we don't have, because the agro season is not there because Kharif is over. Second thing is we don't have much, Revlimid sale is not there as much. So basically it will be a little weak, but I think things will pick up again for March quarter.
Okay, and the last question that like do you see any new product launch during this December quarter or the March quarter?
Any big product launches you're saying in the December March quarter?
Any new product launch?
No, there are no big launches per se at this time. No, not in this next few months. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Next caller.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Rajeev, can you provide some sense on the growth outlook for the non-US geographies for the next couple of years? What could be the drivers, and any particular geography which is looking particularly robust from a growth perspective?
In terms of Brazil and Canada are doing extremely well. Give me a minute. I'll just check out the numbers. So if you look at the last quarter specifically, I think Brazil has done 34 crores. And Canada has done about 61 crores. So these two segments have done very well. And so we expect that these businesses will grow another 25% a year. That is, I think, the one growth driver in the base business. Another growth driver has been the agro business, the business that we started off with almost zero. So last year, I think we did about 40 crores. And I think this year, we're doing about 150, 160 crores. So a minimum to 200 crores. So I think these are the major drivers on the non-US business.
And in terms of these geographies, you talked about Canada and Brazil. Are there any major approvals which are possible or likely over the, which can have a meaningful impact on these geographies from a revenue perspective over the next 2-3 years?
I think the business is steady. I think it's ramping up very well. We have some approvals which are pending in the next 1 to 1.5 years, which we are expecting. So next 1 to 1.5 years, we are expecting good approvals. I think the benefit of that you'll see in the financial year 24-25. I think nothing before 24 March that I can think of. But definitely in 24-25, we have some very good filings. We generally don't state the products because of the confidentiality nature of the business, because of the strategy. But I think we have some good launches lined up in the 24-25.
Thanks. And last one, on the R&D front, any sense on, any color on any large filings or big filings possible you've done this year or looking to do in the second half of the year?
I mean, we are trying another 2-3 products. I think we are trying for a few other FTFs. They're all in the initial stage, but any of those filings will be happening only financial year 24-25, nothing in the next 4-5 months.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Sagar Doshi from Fintuit Investment. Please go ahead.
Okay. So just wanted to ask, like, we have a good year-on-year growth. So specific reason or drivers for it. And I don't want any guidance, but what's the sustainability of the revenue or the profit jump that you have this year? So next year or let's say in the next 2 years, will we be at least able to maintain this rate or what would it be? That's the first one. Second is, how dependent are we on Revlimid? What is the total revenue that we get from it and the growth that drives it?
I think, see, you know, Revlimid is important as for every other company. I think everybody is doing well with this product. In terms of the growth in the next couple of years, again, it's all a function of the general, what it called, price erosion. I think optimistically, I think it should do well for the next couple of years, 24, 25, and 26. But again, you know, only time will tell and how market formation happens. But that's our sense. Regarding you know, our pipeline post Revlimid, I mean, you know, we have you know, a lot of other big filings. I think we have spoken about them in the past. You know, I think semaglutide is one big filing that we have. I think, and another good product that we have is Olaparib. So, I mean, and you know, these are all products which are under review at this time. So, so we'll see how things go. But I think our sole FTF pipeline is in public domain. I mean, we have Bosentan, we have Cartwell, so we have Irbutinib, so Edafitinib. So, I think these are all very good filings, and I think some of them are already approved, and some of them are under review. So I think we are very clear where the growth is going to come from, and I think we have lined up our core manufacturing, and we also have a backup strategy for all manufacturing. I think company strategy has always been to have two sites for all important products. I think this has been ingrained in our system for the last 5-6 years. So I think in that sense, I think I feel secure about the filings, and at the same time, I also feel that there's a reasonable amount of upside in the future. Okay.
Can you just tell me the percentage Revlimid contributes as on today?
I didn't understand, my friend. Can you say that one more time? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. The revenue percentage that we generate from Revlimid sales as on today.
Revenue percentage, generally we don't give sale numbers, my friend. I think generally we don't for competitive reasons. But, you know, it is, obviously it is impactful. I mean, I'm not going to say it has a reasonable impact, but yeah, I think, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next person, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. My first question is on our GLP-1 portfolio. So you have talked a little bit on the semaglutide side. If you can just talk about the impact of this product, will it happen in the next 2-3 years, or do you think it is like 5 years away? And the more important question on this part is also, so there is this liraglutide opportunity that is coming sooner. So are we going to participate in this Victoza and Senda opportunity there?
I don't have a filing on Victor. That's the easy answer. So we don't have a participation. I don't even have a filing. So I think we are not participating in Victor. Semaglutide, it's early days, my friend. I think the review is in early days, the patent litigation is in early days. As you know, this is a very good product. It's done extremely well. You're aware of that. So I think we're very excited about it whenever it actually happens. At this time, it will be very premature to give a timeline. I would refrain from doing that at this time. I think once things develop, I think we'll give you some time to come in. Some guidance. As of now, it's too premature.
Sure. You missed that part on the Saxenda. So on that, are we planning or have we filed?
Which product, I'm sorry?
Saxenda. Victoza, you said we are not doing liraglutide, but Saxenda.
I don't know this product, my friend. It's not an argument. It's not that we have something that discussed. We only discussed semaglutide. We have done both Ozempic and Wegovy. I think that's what we have done.
Both are through Viatris relationship only?
Yeah, that's Viatris is a partner of this product. Yes, correct.
In both the cases?
Yes, that's correct. Absolutely correct.
Sure. My second and final question is on Humira, sir. Is there any, given it is becoming off-patent just few months back?
Products, my friend. Humira is not, you said Humira, right? It's a monoclonal antibody.
Yes.
It's not in our pipeline.
Yes. Not in our pipeline. Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Doshi. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the good set of numbers. My question is that this agri business, you said it is seasonal. So first half you have done almost 100 crores. The question is how much it is contributing to net profits and what are your targets for the next financial year? Where we want to grow as far as this product line is concerned?
I think we have a very good pipeline. So I think this year we'll have some sale in the Rabi. So usually it's about 60-40 split. So I think 60% comes in Kharif and 40% comes in Rabi. So I think that's where we are. This profit right now is on the lower side. Earlier it was not profitable. Now it's profitable. It's on lower side because we had a lot of high cost inventory from the earlier years, which we couldn't sell for a long time, and finally we're able to get rid of it as we speak. I think the costing has gotten much better now. I think there's good diverse set of raw material suppliers. You'll see a very good profit run in the next year. I think that's what my expectation is. In terms of growth, I think we'll probably settle between 150-200 crores in this financial year. On that, I think we're targeting that we should grow compounded by another 25% next the following year based on the pipeline that we have. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks. Next caller, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ketan Athavale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I just had one question. Is the current quarter EBITDA margin sustainable in the long run?
I've already answered the question. I'll repeat my answer one more time. I think the current quarter EBITDA will not be as, the next quarter will not be as strong as the current quarter, but will pick up starting from March again.
This was called the concern level, right?
I'm sorry, sir. The console level, yes. Yeah, the console level, that's correct.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Oswal from Opal Industries. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations for a good number. Please provide some colors on inorganic growth acquisition.
Inorganic growth. Good question. I mean, we're looking at opportunities all the time. So we are opening up subsidiaries in multiple countries. Our cash has improved dramatically now. I think as of December, I mean, the numbers are there and there, but I think we received a reasonable amount receivable. So as of October 31st, we have almost 1657 crores in cash or cash equivalents. And we have about 108 crores of foreign bill discounting borrowing. So net cash level, I think we're almost at 1550. So I think our cash flow has increased. And going forward, by end of the year also, I think it will go up reasonably well. So I think we have the cash. We're looking at opportunities. I think we're just trying to see what the right one is. But I think certainly, I think we're looking at it. As of now, I don't have any deployment plan, but yes, I think we're looking at different options.
In antibiotic sector?
I'm sorry?
In antibiotic sector?
Antibiotic, you said? No, not antibiotic.
The next question is from the line of Yajash Mehta from Kotak Mahindra AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to know, obviously, you mentioned that the September quarter is expected to be weak. The December quarter is expected to be weak compared to the September quarter, and you'd be expecting a recovery in March. How do you see H2 post vis-a-vis H1 going forward?
So, could you say that? I understood most of it. I didn't understand the last question. Could you say that one more time, please? The last
question. Yeah, so how do we look at the second half of the financial year compared to what we've seen things, how we've seen things pan out for the first half of the financial?
I said December will be a little on the weaker side, and things will pick up March. I think we've given a guidance, given a range guidance. I think our expectation that we'll do more than between 1,000 to 1,200 crores of PAT this year.
Okay, thank you so much.
Exact numbers and all. I don't have a crystal ball, my friend. I can only make an estimate of how things are. But I think that's our expectation. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Soumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for allowing me a follow-up. Sir, as we know, there is a fixed percentage for Revlimid sales for each year that we can do. So can we know for next year this percentage will be higher than the current year, or it will be similar to the current year?
It will increase, my friend. It will increase.
And
I think it increased to almost by end of the term, it increased to almost one third of the total sale of the innovator.
So next year we can go up to one third.
No. By end of the term, it will go to one.
Okay. And when is the end of the term?
By 26 March. I think 26 January. I think I don't recall.
Okay.
2025 end.
Okay, so and currently can we know, how much of that, if it goes to one third, currently we are at single digit, or how is it?
I generally don't give that information, my friend. We generally don't give that. I think we're bound by confidentiality.
Okay.
That's what we are allowed
to say. Okay, and can we know this is the second year for this product for us?
Yes. Second year?
Okay. Okay, that's it from my side, yeah.
Okay, that's
thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Malhotra from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. If you could throw some light around the volatility and litigations in the USA. As per my knowledge, you currently have another one in New Jersey filed yesterday.
Which particular product?
The same one, an antitrust case.
That we've already spoken, I think, we are defending our position, and I think we believe that the lawsuits are without merit.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hussein from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Just wanted to understand, apart from CTPR, we have some other products in pipeline in the agrochem side. So can you give some color on those products?
Generally, we don't give a pipeline until it is at a mature, very, very close to a marketing approval. But we have a very good pipeline. We're expecting at least 2 to 3 unique products in the next 12 to 18 months in the agro division.
And secondly, we were doing some relaunches of our product through a subsidiary Dash. So any progress on that front, if you can some highlight on that?
Is your question that you have launched some older products through Dash Pharmaceuticals, our own wholly owned subsidiary? Is that the question?
Yes.
Yes, we have launched. Yes, we have launched some products. It's doing reasonably well, but still a business that is losing money at this time because it's still in early stage. That's the only subsidiary that loses money. Otherwise, all the other subs make money. But it's a journey, so it'll take at least 1.5-2 years before it settles down. We just acquired it. So I think a lot of the pipeline that we have is older pipeline. So it is not such a profitable portfolio. But I think over a period of time, I think we should be able to introduce new products and newer launches where it will turn up.
And lastly, on the domestic front, so on the onco side, how is the business shaping up? Can you give some color on the overall domestic business?
I think domestic has been stable. I think if you look at it, I think we have done well. If you look at our half year numbers, I think we have grown around 10-12%. So I think it's fairly stable. I think I'm happy where we're going. Unfortunately, only missing pieces that we've not done an acquisition, which we have been talking about valuations. But yeah, but otherwise the business has been stable.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That was the only question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Marcel. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just going through this current investment, we have portfolio about 305 crore rupees and hardly about 20 crore rupees, 21 crore rupees only invested in the like, equity or the growth scheme of in mutual fund. Remaining our almost you can say 284 crore which is more, which is about you can say 80, which about 92-93% is invested in the bonds or debenture yielding hardly 8% return. You know that like our inflation is 7% plus seven like so we like fetching 8% return is like nothing. So and if you also see this for example market perspective, even the provident fund or the government provident fund or the PF trust, they are also like allowing up to 15% investment in the, like you can say, market equity oriented. So, like, hello?
No, let me answer your question. No? Just don't, so, our portfolio, I think let's understand what we have and what we don't have. See, what we have in India is most of it is invested in fixed deposits in banks and financial institutions. Our average yield is about, it depends on the tenure, but average yield is about 7.5 to 7.775. I think that's what the average yield for the India rupee deposits. But we also have cash in our offshore sub, which is giving a return of about 5 to 5.5 because dollars deposits only give you that much. So I think that's the where the variation is coming from. I can assure you, I think this is probably the most conservative investments we have done, and we have not, you know, we are getting a reasonable return for the cash that is there. No,
actually, sir, the point is that currently we have invested only 7% in the growth-oriented scheme, predominantly the shares of lower labs. What we are like suggesting that if you can increase this threshold say from 7% to 20%, 15% in the equity, because like the way the market is now booming and the way this like India macroeconomic factor, like it will be 7 trillion economy, 10 trillion economy. So I think equity is doing like reasonably good, where we can face 22 to 25% return per annum. So if you could consider like, you know, this allocating like bigger chunk for the equity, I think it will say, increase the this stakeholder value.
I understand your question. Now I understand what you said. See, the thing is our equity exposure is very low. I think our equity exposure is only 5-6% of our total cash exposure. Loris and all, because of a relationship, we bought them at the IPO. Those shares have been there for many years. Our job is not to do equity stock market investment. Our job is to invest in pharmaceutical research and pharmaceutical manufacturing and pharmaceutical acquisition. I think that's always what our mandate is. I think that's what we're looking at. If you don't have a great idea, we just put it in fixed deposit. I think that's what we actually do. I agree with what you're saying, but again, I also disagree with you because the mandate is very clear that it has to be invested in our core business, not in equity. Thank you.
No, sir, I respect it, but like, let me just like add something more here. The mandate we respect. Only thing we are saying that, like, I'm not saying to go in the, like, you know, this pure equity. We can go through the mutual fund growth scheme, and those are liquid also. Suppose, for example, if you have got any target to acquire something, then this investment in mutual fund can be liquidated within 3 days time maximum. So like there is no like issue that like there is like there is no barrier that the funds will be blocked forever. No. So like because the point is that if you invest in equity growth scheme of mutual fund, you will get dividend also. Plus there is market is booming, so we'll get our NAV will also be higher. So if you could consider to invest through the mutual fund route, wherein we will not be, you know, bothered day to day like about the market like this ups and downs, just like let mutual fund work out. So just please consider to hike to some more exposure in the mutual fund, please.
Yes, sir. I think we will consider what you said, and I think maybe we can consider an exposure. But as of now, I think let me. We'll just have a review, and then we'll come back with some thoughts. Yeah. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Patole from Batliwala and Karani Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Please go ahead. Yeah.
So, just last year, same quarter was pure base business without Revlimid and even without the agrochem scale. And we had reported margins in the range of around 22%. So, is that the right way to look at the business ex of Revlimid?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, it's a very complicated question what you're asking. When we have good revenue, we also spend more on R&D as well, right? So, I mean, I can't answer your question, honestly. It all depends on, see, we budget based on our surpluses and we plan our R&D investment based on that. So, and your R&D is measured based on, you know, I taper my R&D costs, vertical spend based on, you know, how the surplus is going to be. So, honestly, I can't answer your question, my friend. I don't know how to answer your question. Thanks.
Just to that follow, what was the R&D number for 2Q this year?
We don't give for quarter to quarter. Generally, like last year, 8 to 10%
of 8 to 10% of revenue we spend on R&D. That's correct.
Thanks. And that would be the same trend going on.
I think we're maintaining the same flow. Yes, correct. Yes.
Yeah, sure. That's it from us.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next caller.
The next question is from the line of Ketan Athavale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I'm new to the company. So can you just outline how have we doubled the margin percent year on year? And you said that in Q4, we will pick up the margins again. So will the margins sustain the subsequent years?
I think we have spoken about it in the past. I think, short answer is that yes, I think based on our product launches and based on the expectation of the price erosion, yes. I think that's, we expect at least for the next couple of years based on the pipeline, and we should be able to hold up, yes.
And how, what has led to increase in margin over last year, QOQ?
I think we had some good launches. I think we had a subset doing well. Our agro business is doing well. I think Revlimid also has done well. So I think all of them together has helped improve our margins.
Okay, got it. And this cyclicity, is this a seasonality that the margins will go down in Q3, or is this only for this year?
I mean, I can't talk about every year. I can only talk for this. I can only tell you what's happening in the next quarter. I think the gentleman asked, how will your Q3 be compared to Q2? And I think we have said that Q3 will not be as strong as Q2, but however, things will pick up from Q4. I think that's what we have said. And we have set the guidance for the year, and I think that number, I think we already said that it will be between 1,000 to 1,200 crores PAT is what we have said. I think that's what we'll end up with for the year.
Okay, so can you give PAT guidance for next 2 years also?
I don't want to give right now. I'll give you closer. I think let me see how the year goes, and I think closer to the end of this financial, I think we'll speak about that. Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. And congrats for a good set of numbers. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are. Yes, Nicholas. Go ahead.
Yeah, two questions, Rajeev. One is on the domestic piece. Now, probably at the current run rate, we are back to where we were 3 or 4 years back when there was this price hit and everything which has impacted the domestic business. But in the interim, we had launched some more products and we had launched into, I think maybe if I'm not wrong, around 10 to 15 products we have launched. How do you see the domestic business growing organically for us from here? Like, would it be more driven by more new launches, or do you think that the current launches or pipeline which is there in the market has seen to scale up? That is one. And second question, if you can spend some light on, see, if you look at it, since the Revlimid revenue has started coming in, our R&D expenses have increased significantly. And I know this R&D investment will basically help us provide us a pipeline for future. But if you can just share, how should one understand this pipeline evolving? So is it like, are there a large number of opportunities which are like a billion or $500 million kind of opportunities which we are targeting? Or are these opportunities where there would be needed for a clinical trial or such kind of opportunities? And once Revlimid goes off, probably by FY 2025-26, would this R&D spend taper down significantly, or how do you think about the investment in the R&D over the next 2-3 years?
Okay. The way this business works is whatever money you make, let's start with your domestic. Domestic is going reasonably well. I think organically our expectation that will grow around 8 to 10%. And if you're able to add an acquisition, then obviously there will be a higher growth. Regarding R&D money, I mean, without spending money on R&D, you cannot build a pipeline. And I think whatever rich pipeline that we got is because of the money that we spend. And I think good amount of the surplus that we're generating, we put it back in R&D so that we can sustain for the future. And I mean, our first files are already in public domain. So I think, you know, so they have, you know, obviously the timelines of when they'll actually happen, it all depends on the patent case outcomes. So to answer your question, do we have a pipeline post 26? Yes, of course we have. And I think we have a lot of products. They'll all come at different times, but, you know, we are excited about what we have. The question is, do we have more ideas like, you know, which are highly valuable, which can give very large amount of revenues? The answer is yes. I think, see, I tell you, it's a very simple business in a certain sense. I mean, if you do 4 or 5 of these in the next 7-8 years, I think you're set. You don't have to deliver many of those. I mean, you can deliver 3-4 complex products. I think you're set. This business, more and more, again, this is my personal view. I believe if the big things right, at least 3-4 big things right, you're probably covering 50% of your EBITDA. I think in those, most of them will give you very low return. Maybe sometimes you might have shortages and maybe you might come across a little bit of bump. The only way this business works is only 2 ways. One is you do the complex generics and deliver those. And two, you do a global strategy where you do an R&D and you do as many countries as possible. That's the only way you build a sustainable model. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Rajiv, one question.
Answer your question.
Yeah, partly. And what I'm trying to understand is, see,
yeah, go ahead.
For last... Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Last 15-20 years, we've built a model around finding these kind of opportunities and going for it. But over longer term, as the complexity increases, say more products or more launches going towards biosimilar or such kind of products, would you say that at some point, as a company, we would have to move towards, we would have to change our business model? Or we would have to keep on moving up the value chain. How do you see over a longer term? So probably next 5 years this model can sustain, but over... Yeah, please go ahead.
There are enough opportunities in the area that we're doing. We also do a lot of peptide chemistry. We do a lot of complex oncology products. We do, newer forms of, new types of chemistries, which a lot of people are not doing. So in that sense, there is still a little bit of play available in the complex generic space. Regarding biotech, which is a separate question, it's a skill set we don't have internally, I think, I'll be honest with you. we are trying to build it through, you know, small investments, opportunities. But again, it's a skill set I don't have. There are enough opportunities in the, you know, in the setup that we have. So I don't think there are lack of opportunities based on the way we look at it. But however, saying that, you know, obviously biotech is the future. I mean, it's just not monoclonal antibodies. You know, there you have CAR T therapies, you have gene therapy. There's a lot of things that are happening in the pharmaceutical business that you can participate in. And these are the technologies of the future. You need to be part of these. I agree with what you're saying. How would you participate? I mean, that's the question that you might ask. I think at this time, my personal view is that we don't have the skill set internally, but if somebody is doing it, maybe we can, you know, collaborate with them by investing or co-investing. I mean, for example, give an example of one of our friends. I mean, like example, Laurus Labs has an investment in an IIT Mumbai startup, and they recently got approval for a CAR T launch for an oncology product. So, I mean, something like that. I mean, where you take a substantial minority stake and you participate in the upside. So, there are different models. I mean, you can weigh them. Or in the ideal world, you want to own 100% of it and do it. But, you know, again, you have to weigh whether you can do or deliver or whether you want to do a collaborative approach. But, that's how you want to look at it. Okay?
Okay. As a percentage of our current R&D investment...
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Robert Joseph.
Okay, fine. You can conclude the question. Yeah, please.
The next question is from the line of Robert Joseph from Retail Investor. Please go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me, sir? Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Congratulations for the good set of numbers on year-on-year basis. And especially growth on the agrochemical business. Sir, actually, I have only one question. During your last AGM, where you were answering a retail investor, during that time, he was asking about the, because our market cap was consolidating for the past 5 to 6 years in the same space. So, is there any action you are going to take regarding the increasing of the market cap of the share? You told that time that you may consider the issuing of bonus for the long-term shareholders to reward them. So, do you have any ideas still regarding this issue of bonus, sir?
As of now, my friend, I can't answer your question at this time. I look at different options. We have done a buyback. We have reduced equity by about 2.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you.
And we have given a reasonable amount of dividend. And I would like to say that our, you know, financial performance has been very strong. And, as I also said, you know, we have a good amount of cash in our books. Your company is in pink of health. So, beyond that, I can't answer your question. But I think, you know, we just have to, you know, articulate our position that this is what we're doing and this is the pipeline and this is how we're, going forward. Yeah, I think that's all I can do. Yeah.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Harish Swaminathan. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Rajeev. I really admire your stewardship of this company, and I'm very proud to be a very long-term shareholder. Just 2 points I wanted your view.
Yes.
One relates to buyback and one relates to dividend.
Yes.
Now, the last buyback was on the market method. So long-term shareholders didn't really benefit out of it. Though the equity capital came down, so our holding became more powerful. But the tender method would have been much more beneficial for long-term shareholders because A, you get the money, B, it is tax-free, and C, it is very equitable. Considering that you earn 7 to 8% on your 1,600 crores, and considering that you might not need that entire amount for a potential acquisition, so in case you are considering any future buybacks, particularly if you can time it with respect to this Q3 seasonality so that people who are not really believing the company can, of course, pay the price. Now, the tender method of buyback, I feel could be considered. Many progressive companies are doing that, including Infosys, and recently Granules did it. So it's like a form of dividend, but it helps us, number one. And there is a time limit that is now over for you to consider the next buyback, but I leave it to your better judgment. And the second point is on dividend. Now I understand that we want to at some point even out this seasonality thing, but you see the way we pay out dividend, we pay much less dividend for Q2 and even less for Q3 and very high for Q1, because that's where your good revenues come in. Now one way would be, just my thought, is to as a measure of establishing our intent towards removing the seasonality, to look at the dividend in a more equitable or equalized manner, because otherwise what happens is today, many in the market think that nothing positive shock is not going to come for the next 3 months, so people trade in and out, whereas very long-term shareholders like us, we bear the pain and we hope for a better tomorrow, but we also bear this pain because of the seasonality thing. So these are my two thoughts, and I once again want to put on record my admiration for your integrity and the way you have, handled this entire piece. Hats off to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for your kind thoughts. I will take both your suggestions under advisement. I think in the future, if at all we consider, a dividend payout and or a buyback, I will definitely, weigh on your suggestion and will do what is right for the shareholders. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, as you mentioned that Q3 won't be as strong as Q2, but if we compare it as, Q3 to Q3 of previous year, can we expect growth in that terms?
I don't want to answer that question, my friend. Let me just see how this quarter goes. So early to answer that question. I think I can't answer that question. I'm so sorry. I can't. Let me just see how the because I'm right halfway into the quarter, so I don't know how the orders will be booked. And so I think just give me a little. I can't answer your question. I'm sorry. I refrain from doing that because it's premature. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. And one more suggestion as the previous participant that in future if we do a buyback, please do it through shareholder so that shareholders could benefit and not through the open market route.
Got it. I take that under advisement. Absolutely.
Because in the last 5-6 years, I think our market cap has been stagnant. So shareholders have not benefited. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take that under advisement. Okay.
Since we have so much of cash in hand, and if we don't have any opportunity to, for acquisition, then please do a buyback in this way.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I'll take that under advisement. Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ritesh Oswal from Opal Industries. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. What's your view on carbohydrate chemistry? Are we entering in this space?
I'm sorry, what chemistry?
Carbohydrate chemistry. Are we entering in this?
I don't know what that means, but I'll just have an evaluation from my technical team. I'm not a technical person, my friend, so I'm sorry you caught me off guard, but I'll just check what this means. I don't know what it means. Yeah.
Okay, I will send you an email.
Okay, fine. Thanks. So I'll take the last question for today. Yeah.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participant, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for your comments and thanks for your questions. And I appreciate the suggestions given. And we'll take that under advisement and when we make our next set of decisions. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Good day.
Thank you all. Huh? Have a good day. Appreciate it.
On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.